Welcome to the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. I am the editor-in-chief at QB List, Eric Smith, and today I'm joined by Colin Weatherwax. We have a really fun episode for us here. We are going to be going over the Scott Fish Bowl, SFBX. It's coming up on Monday. It's hard to believe it's here. So we got a lot to talk about. Up front, I just wanted to plug our appearance on the Scott Fish Bowl Podathon again. You can check them out at SFB Podathon. We will be on at 4 a.m. So stay up or wake up early and check us out. But that's a great cause, raising a bunch of money for charity, as does the Scott Fish Bowl. So lots of really fun stuff. A good reason to do a draft in July. And to get a bunch of the, you know, industry's best people around to draft and raise money. And it's just a great event all around. So we are excited. We're going to talk some Scott Fish Bowl strategy and how Colin and I are going to handle this draft. So, Colin, how you been? What have you been up to other than stressing over your fantasy baseball leagues that got canceled?
Oh, man, I've been doing good. Really excited about SFBX. Super excited to get in again this year. I was in last year, made the playoffs, had a piss poor performance in the playoffs, so ready to come back and try and take the whole thing down again. I know this is your first year, so it'll be a lot of fun, especially you know, we'll be doing a podcast every Sunday night like we've been doing, so it'll make it a little bit more fun to discuss it. But yeah, the Scott Fish Bowl is a great event, for charity. And who are we kidding? I mean, we're going to be on at the 4 a.m. slot, but all of our listeners are already going to be awake. Like, this is a prime slot for our appearance on the SFB Podathon. But yeah, definitely check that out. Follow that Twitter, SFB Podathon. We actually got to interview the guy that runs it, so that was a lot of fun as well. Really looking forward to the podcast and the draft starting. Like you said, I mean, it starts on Monday, and you know, that's not something that should be happening right now. Like, I shouldn't be getting excited for a fantasy football draft, but hey, I'm super excited about it.
Yep. We got to take what we can right now. So 10 a.m. Yeah. Monday, that draft starts. So really looking forward to it. Yeah, I didn't even think about Sunday night. What We Saw podcast. We'll be sweating our Scott Fish Bowl week. So that's going to be a lot of fun. You can find Colin at CWeatherwax13 on Twitter. I'm at EricSmithQBL, and the site is at TheQBList. So I think that covers most of it. If you're wondering what Scott Fish Bowl is, like I said, lots of good stuff for charity. It's going to a bunch of charities this year. But there are 120 divisions with 12 teams in each. Conferences made up of 8 divisions that compete to get in the playoffs, and then playoffs start week 13 to 16. So this is one of those giant tournaments that whittles down as it goes on from week 13 to 16 and crowns an overall champion. So I'm fully prepared to go for first, and if that means I have an embarrassing team, so be it. I'm trying to win in my first year, so I think that's the way we should all be playing. So Colin and I are actually in the same conference, so we will be competing for the playoffs, not directly in our division, but it could get interesting if we had good teams. So fingers crossed on that one. But yeah, a little bit more about it. Roster construction. Scott Fish, who runs the tournament, obviously, he spends a lot of time trying to make this balanced. He doesn't want quarterbacks to wait till round 10 to get drafted. He wants everyone to be in the mix right away. So you got one QB, but you have 4 flex spots, and one of them is a super flex spot. So essentially a 2 QB league, 2 running backs, 3 receivers, the super flex spot, and 3 other flex spots, and then a tight end spot. You got 11 players on the bench, so there's going to be 264 players drafted in a league. So waivers are going to be pretty slim. Backup quarterbacks even get drafted in this one, so not much on waivers. There's a little depth at wide receiver, I'd say, but quarterback gets really thin. So real quick on the scoring settings, most of the differences are with quarterback. You lose -4 points for an interception, 6 points for a touchdown. And then you also lose a point per sack, you lose a point for an incompletion, and you gain a half point for a completion. So this actually really favors efficient quarterbacks here. So, and then other than that, it's half PPR. You get a half point for rushing and receiving first downs. And then tight ends, you get a full point for reception and a full point for a first down. So it's a tight end premium. So that's a lot right there. But if you're, you know, listening at home and you're not in the league, just wanted to catch you up real quick. So we'll talk about those scoring settings and how that affects things as we go. But we're just going to start off at the QB position and talk about our strategy here. So Colin, I believe, is pick 7 in his draft. I'm pick 12 in mine. So let's start on quarterbacks. Colin, what's just kind of your overall positional strategy with quarterback? It sounds like you had a lot of luck last year with how you went. So what are you thinking this year?
I mean, every year I get a lot of luck. You know, there's no skill at all. So last year in the Scott Fish Bowl, I was lucky enough to get Lamar Jackson in round five. And then I paired him with Matthew Stafford. So I really liked that pairing. I also drafted Nick Foles, thinking that I had a starting quarterback as my backup, quote unquote. And then I drafted Blake Bortles, who I immediately cut for Ryan Tannehill. And if you listen to the interview pod that we did with the SFB Podathon, I reluctantly said that I cut Tannehill before he actually got the job. So that was a little brutal. But in this league, like you said, backup quarterbacks are going to be drafted. I want to come out of the draft with three, quote unquote, starting quarterbacks. It could be a situation like Ryan Tannehill, where I strongly believe that he will win the job or be given the job, you know, halfway or sooner through the season. I feel a lot more comfortable with that, especially whenever I talk about a guy like Matthew Stafford, who I've liked in the past. He has this reoccurring back issue. So you can never guarantee health with really anybody, but especially not the quarterback position. So you like to come out of this draft with three starting quarterbacks. And like you said, you know, this is a 12-team league, and these are all analysts or really smart fans that have really done their homework. So, you know, if every team wants to come out with three starting quarterbacks, well, there's just not enough to go around. So you might have to pay a little bit of a premium, especially in a super flex league. But like you said, I have pick number 7. You have pick number 12. I think we can both say that we are comfortably out of the race for a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. I don't know about you, but if one of them fell to me at that spot, I think it would be really difficult to pass up. What about you at pick number 12? I know it's probably not going to happen, but just in case.
Oh, yeah. Pick 12, I'd definitely be going with Lamar or Mahomes. I mean, I've heard some really smart people at the number one overall pick who are locked into Mahomes or Lamar. So, pick 7 or pick 12, I think it's a pretty easy selection. I think they're probably going to go top 5 most of the time. We have some SFBX mock draft data. There's been a bunch of mock drafts going. Mock draft data is not always the most dependable. It means a lot more when people have real teams on the line, but both Mahomes and Jackson are pretty comfortably 3 and 4 overall. So they're going to go quick. You may have a shot at them, but I bet in your league they're going to be gone as well. So yeah, that kind of leaves a question I wanted to ask you. We know Mahomes and Jackson are first rounders. I'm just going to go down the next couple in ADP and tell me, would you feel comfortable taking them in the first round? Dak Prescott, he is, it's hard to believe just a couple years ago, the way people talked about him, that he is the third quarterback off the board right now. He's going ADP 12 in the mock drafts. I think he'll go higher in the real thing. Would you take Dak in the first round?
So before I answer that question, I want to reiterate that quarterbacks and tight ends are going to be at a premium in this league. Like you said, tight ends get that extra bump with PPR and with first down points. So not only whenever you're talking about a traditional league where usually no quarterbacks or maybe one or two go in the first round, but usually no tight ends go in the first round. So for me, and especially you, picking at pick number 7 and 12, there's a lot of, you know, top 3 or 4 overall players that might make their way to us. So for me, Dak Prescott is probably not going to be on my radar, because I'm going to be looking to see, you know, which top running back is going to fall. We know Christian McCaffrey probably isn't going to make it. Saquon Barkley probably isn't going to make it. I'm not huge on Elliott, but Kamara is a guy that could possibly fall all the way down there. And then, you know, guys like Travis Kelce, George Kittle, they could possibly go before my first pick. And that could leave me with a guy like Michael Thomas. So the long answer was that, but the short answer is probably no to Dak Prescott. And then I'm looking down at this ADP sheet. Deshaun Watson is the next one. I'm a little worried about him. I actually sold him in the Dynasty League just because he lost Hopkins. I understand they signed Cooks, but they also have, you know, the non-efficient David Johnson in the backfield. So I really don't know what to think about Watson. Wilson is pretty consistent, but he's also kind of boring at the position. Kyler Murray, the hype is huge on him. So I'm looking probably along the lines of a guy like Drew Brees, like you said, a guy that can complete and that is efficient, is really good in this scoring. So he's, you know, ADP 24. So that's right at the end of the second round. He's a guy I could see myself taking, in my second round pick. But I don't think I want to pay the premium on a guy like Kyler Murray, even though I like him. I do think it's a little bit risky, even in this setting, to take him in the second round.
Yeah. And I mean, when I was going over the scoring settings, it was a lot. I don't know if I did a good job explaining exactly what that means for quarterback. But if you have a bad game out of your quarterback in this setting, you're going to have a really bad score. You may have negative point games out of your quarterbacks. I'm just looking at, like, I mean, Baker Mayfield had a terrible year last year. He averaged 8.9 points per game, which I double checked like three times to make sure I didn't have that wrong. By comparison, Lamar was scoring like 32. Jared Goff had a rough season. He scored 13 per game. Those are low numbers. Goff had 19 the year before. So that's why they're going so quick. When you hear Drew Brees with ADP 24, that sounds insane. But it's because you can really get submarined by some of these quarterbacks. And Kyler Murray is one that I agree with you. His skills don't quite translate in this league like it would in your typical home league. Obviously, if he has that breakout and he's just, you know, peppering DeAndre Hopkins with targets, then obviously he can break out and have a great score in this format. But this isn't really your running quarterback format for the most part. You get some points for rushing first downs, but you really want efficiency and quarterbacks that will not take sacks. So I would be skipping on Kyler Murray as well. So I'm going to have a really tough decision at pick 12 because I'll have that 12th and 13th pick, and then it's going to feel like a century before I pick again. And we're looking at maybe pick 36 ADP. We're probably down to Wentz and Rodgers, which if they start going earlier than the mock ADP says, they may be gone. Then we're down to Josh Allen, Stafford, Brady. So I could be looking at them as my QB1 if there's a big run. So I have a tough call. I don't think Dak's going to make it to me at 12. And I think the real decision for me would be if I wanted to take Watson. I'm not as down on him as you are. You all know me who have listened. I'm very against taking a quarterback early, and it's going to be awfully hard for me to pull the trigger on Deshaun Watson at 12.
Yeah, I bet it will. But I mean, you know, in a super flex league like this, where quarterbacks are going to be flying off the board, especially at the turn for you, you're going to have to make some reaches. You're going to have to jump some ADP, especially at the quarterback position. So for me, in the middle of the draft, I really like that spot because I won't miss out on the runs. And if I do, I can still get a somewhat decent player. But for me, you know, I'm looking at Drew Brees as my first quarterback. I wouldn't mind a guy like Matt Ryan, who's going right after him in the mock ADP. Aaron Rodgers is also there, and Carson Wentz. So, you know, I'm looking at one of the top 10 quarterbacks to make my first quarterback. But I'll tell you what, if I miss out on all of them, I'm not just going to say, okay, I have to get one. It doesn't matter if it's the 11th ranked guy like Josh Allen or Matt Stafford or Tom Brady or anything like that. I'm perfectly comfortable with waiting. There's a couple guys that are going a little bit later. And you know, like I said, if I miss out on those top 10, which is completely possible, I will wait. I will wait for a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, who's going at pick number 82 right now in this mock ADP that we're looking at. That's quarterback number 21 off the table. And if he's healthy, you know, you already know what you're going to get with Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he's going to spread it around. He's going to be highly efficient. He might have a few games that could have that Baker Mayfield effect. But I think overall, for a full season, I think he'll be in the positive for sure. A guy that I really like this year is Drew Lock. I think he's going to break out. I really like all the weapons that he has, and I have no problem with him being my QB2. I know this is the point structure is based off of really accurate quarterbacks, and we haven't really seen that from Drew Lock. However, I do believe in the talent, and if I do draft a guy like Ben Roethlisberger or Drew Lock, I know that I have to pair him with a guy like Nick Foles or a guy like Gardner Minshew or Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Darnold, someone that I know that I can sub in if, you know, either an injury or poor performance shows up for a guy like Roethlisberger or Locke. And I have someone that I can actually throw in there, and I'm not just wasting that spot with, like, you know, a pass catching running back or a wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm going to be debating this all weekend. It's the big decision for my draft is, do I take a quarterback at 12 or 13? Because like I said, if I don't get to maybe Wentz or Rodgers back in the third or fourth round, I'm going to have a hard time pulling the trigger on Josh Allen or Stafford. I love Stafford, but I don't know if I want to take him the third or fourth.
Not either.
Yeah, I mean, then you're waiting, and it's just a mess if you wait past the fourth round. So It's a tough call. I am tempted to just try to figure it out though, and maybe take a running back and a tight end or two running backs at first and second. So we'll get to them later. But yeah, I think as far as my targets, it's probably Watson or Wilson in the first or second round. We'll see if I pull the trigger. And then I think I'm really hoping for like Wentz or Rodgers on the way back. And then honestly, I mean, there's a whole group we were talking about before we started. There's a whole group of QB2s that I feel pretty good about. I mean, even someone like Baker Mayfield, who I pointed out how bad he was. He could have a better year. You look at some, you know, Tannehill's still got pretty good value. I'm not bought in on him repeating, but at QB 18, that's a solid value. Jimmy Garoppolo at 19, Joe Burrow at 20.
Your boy.
Yeah, my boy.
If you don't draft Joe Burrow, then you can't have another podcast. Like, you have to draft him in this league.
the odds are pretty good, I think. So, especially if I get stuck with kind of a middling QB1, he'd be maybe an upside QB2. Or if I go really crazy, no, he can't be QB1. But yeah. But even Derek Carr, I know you tried to talk me out of him last time, but he was pretty good in this format last year with his efficiency. So, yeah, there's a bunch of late rounders I like. Minshew, Bridgewater, Darnold, even, you know, we talked about Justin Herbert. I mean, he's going really late. If you can wait 4 or 5 weeks, maybe he's in there, maybe not even that long. So,
yeah, so you're getting into the QB3 range for me whenever you're talking about Herbert. But the tier right above that, like guys like Dwayne Haskins, I understand that he was awful last year. However, he has the job. And whenever you're looking for a guy, especially whenever bye weeks come or whatever, you know, you get an injury to QB1 or 2, Dwayne Haskins has a job. And that's pretty much all you need whenever you're looking to throw a quarterback in there. And then right after him, there's like a huge bunch of guys that I really like. And I'm really curious to see what happens with the situation in New England, which we'll touch on here real quick. Jarrett Stidham is right now going right after Dwayne Haskins as QB number 30. So I'm curious to see what happens with him, how far he falls. And if he falls, you know, further than a guy like Mitch Trubisky, who's like 50 picks later, and then you start getting into the backups like Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, I'm perfectly fine with taking a guy like Jarrett Stidham. I feel like that situation in New England is a fluent situation that we need to be weary of, especially whenever we're drafting those quarterbacks. But it's also a situation that I want to have a share of. And that could be either Jarrett Stidham or it could be Cam Newton, depending on how far up he goes on the draft board, because I'm assuming this ADP was done before the signing, since it just happened this week. So I could see Cam Newton creeping up into like the Phillip Rivers, Gardner Minshew area, which is still a, you know, before pick 100 in this format. But between those two guys, like there's a guy like Tyrod Taylor, Nick Foles, Ryan Fitzpatrick, like those are three guys that can really benefit your team, and that you might even be forced to put them in your lineup sooner rather than later, and they will give you a non-zero. And that's the kind of quarterback I want as my QB3. Because I don't have to say, okay, I need to throw this guy in there. I'm hoping for, you know, the starter to get injured, which you never do, or just some garbage playing time for this guy to give me some points while my starting quarterback's on a bye or while my starting quarterback's hurt. I want someone that I know I can turn to in a pinch, especially if there's a bad matchup or anything like that as well.
Yeah. And I got to say, I'm really starting to come around on Superflex. Any other draft, we would have talked about quarterbacks for about 15 seconds. We would have said, wait on, I don't know, Daniel Jones or Burrow or Roethlisberger, whoever you want.
Can you imagine Daniel Jones in this format? Like all of the negatives that come with turnovers and just how many turnovers he's done. I understand the rushing upside, but yeah, the turnovers are the biggest thing for me. I saw that there's also negative points for interceptions returned for touchdowns, and that is something that Daniel Jones would be awesome at.
Yeah, it's an extra negative too. I looked it up, and outside of, I believe it was Jameis, your boy Jameis, most of the league leaders every year, like 3 or 4 pick six, so it's probably not a huge thing. But I mean, Daniel Jones also had some huge weeks last year. His points per game, 15.27 is what I have. It's not perfect. I'm kind of coming up with this on my own, but it's not bad. It's up there with some pretty good quarterbacks, but I bet if you look at the weekly, he's got some wild swings. So,
oh, for sure.
That is tough when you're playing a weekly game. he could sink a few for you. So, all right. Yeah, we should talk about Cam. I was starting to talk myself into Stidham as being interesting, just in general, being super cheap, just taking a flyer on him, sitting him on your bench. But yep, so Cam's in New England. Yeah, well, now it's even cheaper. So
yeah,
Cam's in New England. I guess probably first we should talk about whether he'll start. I mean, I'll go through a few things here, but I find it hard to believe he's not starting unless his health. And that's really what everything I say is going to come back to is his health here, because if he is not healthy and he is a limited Cam Newton, I don't have a lot of interest in him. I posted on Twitter this week. I mean, he's topped 4,000 passing yards once in his career. That was his rookie year in 2011. 15 active quarterbacks have thrown for more than one 4,000-yard season since then. So 4,000 yards is not real hard nowadays to get for a quarterback, and he's only done it once. He's obviously so good because of his rushing touchdowns, his rushing yardage. And if we're getting a limited Cam Newton here, that worries me big time for fantasy. So I don't think we're going to know anything about his health, and we're just going to have to take a risk. Quarterback's probably a good position to take the risk on, but I don't think I'm going to end up with much Cam Newton at all this year. I do, though, think it's a great move for the Patriots in a million different ways. Even if it doesn't work out, it doesn't cost them anything. They could get a comp pick on this. They could he could blow up and they could franchise him. There's a bunch of ways this works out. But fantasy purposes, I'm not super excited. I do think he'll start, though. I don't think, unless he's hurt, Stidham's going to beat him out. So what are your thoughts on Cam? You differ from me at all in that?
No, I think I'd like him as a QB3, especially in this format. But I do think that there's a reason why his contract was so low. I do think there's a reason why he was so cheap, and that does fall back on the injury concerns. I don't know if his physical was, you know, there were some glaring holes, or, you know, there might still be a recovery time. I know he pretty much sat out all year last year, so what exactly could he be recovering from? But with a guy like Cam Newton, he's a guy that plays a little recklessly, and if he's lost the ability to run and the ability to be Cam Newton, and he's just going to be a stationary pocket passer, he will not last in this league. And that's whenever the team will turn to Stidham. And that's why I like the fact that Stidham most likely, now, like I said, these leagues are going to be sharp. So there could be places, and I'm sure there will be places, where Stidham will go before Newton. But if he's going well after Newton, I'm perfectly fine with throwing that flyer at him. I do think that he still has the ability to start, you know, more games than Cam. I do think that's a possibility, because if they're not, if Cam's healthy and they're still not winning games, like why incentivize him and why pay him the extra $6 to $7 million whenever you can just throw Stidham out there and not have to pay him any extra? So that's one of the things that I'll definitely be looking at, is especially this New England, you know, situation at the quarterback position. But I'm not saying I'm out on Cam Newton. You know, it just kind of depends on how the board falls. Like I said, I do like Tyrod Taylor, Nick Foles, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who are all going ahead of him. I also like Justin Herbert, who's going ahead of him as well. So, you know, if he starts to hop over them and into like Teddy Bridgewater, Philip Rivers area, then I'll definitely be out. But if he stays where he's at, then I'll definitely throw a flyer for sure.
Yeah, and he's had, you know, injuries that could affect both his passing and his running. I don't know which is the bigger concern, but I totally agree with you. There's a lot of talk in the media about his attitude and how that's a problem. But in the grand scheme of things in the NFL, he has not had big run-ins with the law. You know, there's nothing that big of a red flag that's going to make him sign a small deal like this. So it's got to be health. I have a very hard time seeing them running Cam Newton, you know, 10 times a game, you know, him just burrowing his head down at the goal line to score touchdowns. I don't see it happening. So.
Yeah, he's also a running quarterback that's coming off of major injuries, and he's a year older. So those are a lot of red flags.
Yep. He's kind of in the prime of his career for a quarterback, but he's already injured.
Like him, yeah.
Yeah. And not an already injured one. So,
yeah
I just think someone's going to jump him up in most leagues I'm in. I'm trying to look where somebody could conceivably take him. I can't imagine anyone would take him over Tannehill. But Garoppolo, maybe someone could talk them into, I don't know, taking him there. I wouldn't, but
maybe Burrow.
Once you get down to the QB 19, 20, 21 range, maybe people start considering them. But
hey, yeah. That's my prime range right there. You're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, Derek Carr, Drew Lock. That's my range.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, I think we're on the same page there. He could win you a league, I guess, but I just don't see it.
Yeah,
this year, maybe next year, but
No, probably not.
All right. Well, Colin's not going to be buying him in Dynasty. So
no, definitely.
Well, I think that's a pretty good rundown. You touch on everything at quarterback you wanted to there.
I'm drafting Drew Luck probably no matter what.
Yeah, I knew that already. So
yes.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'll probably end up with Burrow.
This year is Lamar Jackson for me. I'll say that.
Okay.
I won't go after week one and say he's going to be the QB1 the rest of the way like I did Lamar Jackson last year, but it'll be a little crazy, my hype for him.
Yeah. That was fun looking back on weeks one and two when we were debating if he was a QB1. That was
you mean fun. Whenever you were wrong? Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I looked at my rankings. I think I had him like QB like three after that debate. So I still had him pretty high. So
yeah, but that's not high enough.
That's true. All right. Well, let's move on to running backs. Spent a lot of time on quarterback. I don't know. Running back feels just it's just a lot simpler as far as this league goes. I mean, they kind of are what they are. You're going to have the elite first rounders. And then eventually you're going to get into that dead zone if you've been listening to lots of fantasy podcasts this offseason of kind of the aging or injured running backs that everyone's afraid to draft. So I think probably in this league, it's pretty similar to any other league. You get the extra points for first downs. So that does benefit pass catchers like most formats do. So you got your clear cut first rounders. You got a bit of a dead zone and then some interesting flyers. So overall, what are you thinking at the position, Colin, for running backs?
I'm avoiding that dead zone or landmine area, like you said. I think there is a pretty clear-cut top 14 running backs who we'll definitely touch on as well. But I'll go ahead and take myself out of the running, out of the top three. I don't think there's any way that Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, or Ezekiel Elliott make their way to me at pick number 7. I know they won't make it to you as well. So my ideal situation would be to take Alvin Kamara in the first round at pick number 7. And based on the mock ADP, it's looking like that's a possibility. And then, you know, depending on how quarterbacks go, if they're either flying off the board or if they're not being pushed up as much, then I might even go running back. I'd love to have a start like Kamara Henry or Kamara Sanders. That would be my ideal start to this draft. And I know it's a little bit, you know, more risky for me because I'm in the middle, or not as risky as you, you know, because you're on the end, but, you know, I could still miss out on some runs, especially for quarterbacks. And there could be, you know, a Kamara and a Chubb or a Kamara and a Henry looking at me, depending on who jumps up. You know, if there's 5 or 6 quarterbacks that go at the beginning of the second round, like I could be looking at pairing Kamara with Mixon or Kamara with Henry. And that could be, you know, there's so many what ifs with a draft like this, being super flex and tight end, getting a little bit of bump as well. But yeah, my ideal situation would be to start off with Kamara and pair him with a guy like Henry or Sanders or Mixon and just completely avoid pretty much everyone from Fournette, Gurley, Melvin Gordon, and Le'Veon Bell down.
Yeah, you said running back 14. That nails it for me. You got the top ones you mentioned, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry, Chubb, just going down the list. Even Aaron Jones, I know we all are pretty down on him this year, but I mean, you know, he's a solid RB, RB2, I guess, to build your team around, borderline. But even Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'd be fine taking a shot on. Austin Eckler, but after you get past Eckler, Fournette, Gurley, Jonathan Taylor, Melvin Gordon, Le'Veon Bell, that's, yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm trying to avoid that as much as possible. Yeah,
take the studs and then take your flyers later.
Yep. And there's some good ones. We'll get to them. But yeah, for me at pick 12, I think if Dalvin Cook fell to me, he's got about an ADP of 10. I know the contract holdout is worrisome, but you know, we're trying to win this thing. So I think I would auto pick Dalvin Cook unless something new happens over the next couple of days at 12. And then I can take Alexander Mattison later. You know, I can maybe jump him up around or do whatever. So I don't know. I think at the turn, if I wanted to double up on running backs, I'm looking at Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb. I've been pretty out on Derrick Henry in most drafts, but I will say in this one with the 0.5 per rushing first down, I would consider Derrick Henry much stronger here. It's still not the full point you're essentially getting if a running back catches a first down. You know, you get the half for reception, half for the first down, but it certainly softens the blow with Henry. He put up about 22 points a game in this format last year. That was obviously really good. He had a crazy year. I don't think he's going to quite do it again, but I think I hate to do it, but I could take him at that turn there and feel pretty good. So, yeah, I think I would be happy with them. It's a little drop in ADP to Chubb and Miles Sanders, but I mean, honestly, I don't think taking them at the turn would be that outrageous. But yeah, if you don't get the first round or two, get your running back, it gets a little rough. So I don't know. Do you have any pushback on Derrick Henry or maybe even Chubb there at the 1-2 turn?
I like Derrick Henry at that spot for sure. I'm not sure about Chubb because I am a little bit worried about Kareem Hunt's usage. Now, I do know that Chubb, you know, led the league in rushing yards last year. He was, you know, well involved for sure. However, Kareem Hunt did miss the beginning of the season. He came on a little late, and I do think it could be a nice little 1-2 punch for the team specifically, not really for fantasy. But for me, I'm kind of looking at your draft position and I'm thinking if you're already contemplating a quarterback here and you go running back, yeah, you set yourself up at the position, but you're also really hurting yourself at quarterback. So I think your probably best play would be to go running back quarterback. I highly doubt Eckler will fall that far. But maybe take your most reliable flyer in that danger zone because you still want to have someone who definitely has a role. I know there's a couple guys that you know we'll talk about here in a little bit that we want to throw flyers at that don't necessarily have the job but could have a really nice role you know later on in the draft. But if you're starting your draft off running back quarterback, you're going to have to make sure you shore up that other position. So that way you can definitely use that every week. Now last year, I will tell you, we had the option to, I believe this was the case because my draft said so, but, we had the option to only start one running back. Now I do see this year it's two running backs. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. So yeah, I would definitely say that if you go running back quarterback, you might have to dip your toe in the nasty waters there in the middle. Or else you're kind of setting yourself up for who's going to be my running back two every week.
Yep. So yeah, there's the super flex position and then three flexes. So you could start two running backs. You could start five. You could start three receivers. You could start six receivers. So it definitely kind of leads you to just take best player available at running back and receiver. I will talk about later. I do think there's so much depth at receiver though, that I'm going to try to avoid them early when I can and just hammer them later. But one thing I'll say with the early running backs is, I mean, I hate to keep bashing Joe Mixon here. I love him as a player. I don't see why he's that much better than some of the other running backs like Chubb, Josh Jacobs. I don't see why he's 7 ADP slots ahead of them. So I see them pretty much in the same range there. So that's just kind of my thought on Mixon. I'll take him at the turn. He's still got a lot of upside, and if they use him in the passing game, he could blow up. But I would kind of rather have some other players make my decision for me there, I think, in front of Mixon. So you're talking about that dead zone maybe where I'd be picking third and fourth round. I will say I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on Jonathan Taylor. I have noticed in some of my admittedly very low stakes best ball leagues, people are terrified to take rookies this year, running backs and receivers. And I don't know. I mean, when you're looking at Jonathan Taylor compared to Gurley, Melvin Gordon, Le'Veon Bell, I mean, I know a lot can go wrong with Jonathan Taylor, but which one would you take to have a league winning season? You know, I mean, if things go right for Taylor. Yeah, if things go right,
he can fire in that little dead zone right there. So yeah. I don't think he'll be there whenever the real ADP starts to come out.
No, I agree. But I just in general, I mean, I think I could see him going in the second round. He's not going to, but like he's got league winning upside. So he's one in that range I like. And I don't know.
Because like I said, I think he's going to go up above, you know, Gurley and Fournette. So you're looking at guys like Fournette, Gurley, Gordon, Bell, and Connor and Carson. Like all of those have question marks. All of those burned a lot of people last year. Fournette not scoring touchdowns. Gurley with the injury. Gordon with the injury. Bell with just inefficiency. Connor with injury. And Carson, he had a pretty good year, but you know there's a little bit of injury concerns there too. So that's the dead zone I'm talking about. And you can even throw David Johnson in there, who's two picks later. Raheem Mostert, who kind of came out of nowhere. Like that's a huge spot. And if you want to get an RB2, you know, those guys have jobs, but they do have question marks.
Yeah. And this is where I feel like being on the turn hurts my strategy. I'm pretty good at being at like pick 10, pick 9, pick 8, kind of planning out my next two picks and taking the one that I think is going to go the soonest and then grabbing the value on the way back. I'm pretty good at planning out two picks in a row like that. And I can't do that at all at the turn. So that makes it really tough because my instinct is to say the cheapest of all of them, but it kind of doesn't work as well when you're on the turn. I don't think I'll touch Fournette at all this year. I think it could be a complete disaster with Fournette. I think Chris Thompson is a sneaky, underrated, steal his targets kind of possibility there. Fournette was never this big of a pass catcher before this year. So no interest in Fournette. Gurley, I don't particularly want. I almost could talk myself into Melvin Gordon, I think, of this group. I mean, he had the suspension last year. That was a big chunk of the time he missed. He's been pretty solid scoring wise in this format. I think Denver's got a really interesting offense, and I still think even with all those weapons, they would like to run the ball and play defense. So I kind of like Gordon. I think they got him for a reason. I also kind of think people are overestimating Philip Lindsay as a pass catcher. He just really hasn't produced that much. He looks like he should be a pass catcher, but they haven't used him that much like that. So I like Melvin Gordon's potential for some receiving work. So I kind of like Connor. He's later in ADP. So I think if for some reason he was there in my next turn in the fifth and sixth round, he's not going to be. But that's where I feel better about Connor. But it seems like people have started to catch on to Connor being a decent, you know, dart throw. And he's kind of getting out of my range right now. But if Connor, Carson, and maybe even David Johnson, if I could get them fifth or sixth round, I guess, right? If one of them fell, I'd look into him. But I don't know. I think it's kind of Jonathan Taylor, Melvin Gordon, and not a ton else for me.
I don't want any of them, honestly.
I don't really either.
And I don't see myself picking any of them. Now, I might have a little bit of extra luxury because I'm picking in the middle compared to you, where you might not have a choice unless you want to hop up a guy like, I don't know, Mark Ingram or Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift. You know, that'd be hopping up quite a bit of their ADP. But if you believe in them, then go for it. But that is a whole spot that I'm going to be avoiding, including a guy like Raheem Mostert, who I really liked last year. Also a guy that I cut before he quote unquote got the job in the SFB. So that's fun. I don't want David Johnson. I would rather take Duke Johnson. And I was on that fence last year as well. So I've been burned before, but, you know, I've seen David Johnson and he doesn't look the same as well. So I will be throwing some darts after I get my first two running backs. I really hope I'm able to lock down that position so that way I can take some flyers, you know, at the Tampa Bay situation. It looks like James White's going super late. Jordan Howard should have, you know, pretty close to every day running back carries in Miami. And I might even pair him with the backup there whose name is escaping me, Matt Breida. So, you know, guys like that, maybe even Sony Michel. You know, I'd much rather take a flyer on some of these guys that could possibly, you know, show something in the season. Whereas, you know, guys like Todd Gurley, who could easily just burn me as my third or fourth round pick. Leonard Fournette, like you said, I want to stay away from that situation. I'm not as high on Melvin Gordon at all. I've heard a lot of people, you know, say the same things that you have. It might just be my everlasting love for Drew Locke and just thinking that they're not going to use Melvin Gordon as much as everyone else thinks they will. But yeah, I'm staying out of that zone if I can, and I'll probably be targeting quarterbacks, tight ends and wide receivers in those middle rounds, like three and four, to just stay away from those running backs.
Yeah, and that's a fair point about Gordon and Locke. Once Locke took over last year, he stopped dumping down to the running backs as much as the previous quarterbacks did. So he's more of a take a shot deep, and he's got tons of options for it. So
yeah,
that's a good point there. I totally agree, though. I'm hoping to get one, maybe two running backs in the first two rounds, and then fill in quarterbacks and receivers. There are going to be some receiver values, I think, that are insane. So, yeah, some of my targets that are a little later. I mean, I think Cam Akers would be my favorite of that next tier of rookie running backs. I think he's going to go way too early for me.
Yeah, I honestly think he can jump that tier that we just talked about, honestly.
Yeah, I don't buy this ADP here. They got him at 68, but I have a hard time seeing that happening when things are rolling. So, you know, maybe if Swift, I'm not huge on Swift or Dobbins this year for redraft purposes, but if they fell some, I wouldn't mind them. But some of my other later round options, you mentioned Jordan Howard and Breida. I totally agree with you there. I'd be tempted to either take both or take the one that falls the farthest. I think Jordan Howard, I mean, I think he's a pretty good bet just in the sense that Breda's had injury history and there's nothing behind them. We saw that backfield in Miami last year. So I think Jordan Howard could be getting a lot of carries this year if he just stays on the field. So those are two I'm looking at. Alexander Mattison, like I said, if I got Dalvin Cook and maybe even regardless, I think he's a good value at that range. I also really, I've been taking a lot of Tevin Coleman this year. It's not that I necessarily like Tevin Coleman, but he's super cheap. And I mean, he stole some weeks from Mostert down the stretch when Mostert was hot. So he's better in a best ball format where you don't have to worry about when to start him. It's kind of miserable picking when to start him. But if something happened to Mostert, Coleman could be a pretty good player and he might be regardless. So I think we have some pretty similar targets there. There's some fun ones later on, you know, maybe A.J. Dillon real late or a Justin Jackson, Chase Edmonds. That's I'm right there with you. I'm going to be going after those types, but hopefully I can lock up two pretty solid ones early. So,
yeah, see, there's a few other ones that I like as well. I talked about Duke Johnson, you know, Darrell Henderson in L.A. Like, what if Cam Akers doesn't pan out? The hype on Henderson last year was insane. And what has changed? I mean, Gurley is gone. So if anything, his situation has gotten better. So he's a guy I like Zach Moss over in Buffalo, just because Devin Singletary just seems kind of boring to me. He just seems like I'm going to run it in the middle. I might catch a few passes here and there, but that's about it. And those are guys that could see like a huge spike and turn into RB2s right off the bat. But the guy that I'm interested in that you talked about was Dobbins. So, you know, you have the luxury of picking on the corners. Would you or do you see yourself pairing Ingram and Dobbins as like a back-to-back pick situation?
That's interesting. I kind of hate doubling up and handcuffing like that most of the time. In a league this deep, it definitely makes me trend towards it a little more just because waivers is rough, and if you pick the wrong one, you could just be kind of whiffing one there. So yeah, I might consider that. It's going to be really fascinating to see how it works out. And also, I mean, it's interesting to remember that, I mean, Mark Ingram was, I mean, he was really good last year, but for how much they scored and how much they ran the ball, it wasn't like a blow up year. So you know, Lamar Jackson takes a lot of it. Maybe he'll take less this year, but I don't know if I'd want to invest two high picks like that in the backfield. I might just pick one and hope I hit right. I think it's a viable strategy for sure, but I kind of hate to sink two picks that high into one position, I guess I would say. So, but I mean, I think Dobbins is the league winner. I mean, Ingram might be a great value for you and you get a really cheap RB2 or maybe borderline RB1, but I think Dobbins is the one that could finish, you know, running back 8 or something.
Yeah, for sure. That's possible. And in that situation, I'll probably stay away from. I do think that Baltimore is due to regress. And I also think that maybe Lamar Jackson might improve as a passer. So they might not be as run heavy. I know they were the run heaviest team in the league last year. So that's why I like guys like Hollywood Brown, who we'll definitely touch on whenever we move to the wide receiver section. But yeah, I think the running back section is really fascinating. I'm one that I want to get, you know, two top 15 ones if I can in my first two rounds. But if I don't, I'll take my first round running back and then I'll just wait and start pairing, you know, guys that I like.
Yep. And I mean, there's even some players like, you know, Damian Williams could really fall. And, you know, sure. I mean, it might not work out for you, but who knows? Maybe Edwards-Helaire has trouble staying healthy or something. I mean, you never know with these rookies. So,
or they just don't give the job to Edwards-Helaire like everyone says they will.
Yep, definitely. And they could both be viable if that offense is just lighting it up. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty good run on running backs. I mean, they're kind of self-explanatory in this format, I think. You can kind of draft them as normal, and you'll get some push down in value just because everyone's getting distracted with quarterbacks and tight ends. So I think you just kind of maybe you probably chase value, but maybe have an idea if you're wanting to go like 5 running backs to start or if you're wanting to go 2. Like, just kind of have that idea up front. That'll help make your decisions, I think. So, all right. Yeah, let's get into receivers. And receivers is kind of hard to talk about, too, because – there are receivers just so deep. I mean, there are so many receivers that I'd be happy drafting. So my strategy is really going to be maybe after rounds 3 and 4, maybe starting around there. I'm going to start hammering some of these receivers at that point. There's a range that I really like of receivers. It is in the kind of 6 through 8 range. You can get, according to this ADP anyway, you can get Chark, Sutton, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Boyd, McLaurin. Yeah, I think I've got Boyd in every draft I've done this year. I just love him this year. So maybe it's my homer side coming out. But yeah, there's just, I mean, there's so many talented young receivers with good quarterbacks throwing them the ball that I don't know. You could go anyway at receiver. I'm going to try to avoid them first two rounds if I can. But if there's a good value like Michael Thomas or Devontae Adams or Tyreek Hill, it's going to be hard to pass up. So you're probably in an interesting range for receiver. What are your thoughts on receiver?
Most likely I'll start targeting them in the 4th round, because like I said, I want to go running back, quarterback, if possible. Now if the quarterbacks are still, if I still like a few quarterbacks there in the 3rd round, then I can see myself jumping up and taking one of these guys. One of my main targets would definitely be Julio Jones. If I'm going the 3rd round, I just think that he is so consistent. And I know he has those boom weeks, and they can definitely, you know, he'll also have those shutout weeks. But, you know, a boom week in a league like this could definitely help you a lot. So I'll probably be out on guys like Thomas and Adams. Julio Jones is one of my biggest targets. But then if I have to wait till the 4th round, then I'll probably be taking some shots on guys like Odell Beckham, Cooper Kupp, who we've had some interesting discussions about in the Discord, Amari Cooper, possibly, maybe even Julio Jones's running mate and Calvin Ridley. But then I really like that section that you talked about, especially guys like DK Metcalf, Tyler Boyd, Jarvis Landry, who was probably the wide receiver one on his own team last year. You know, there's Marquise Brown also, like you're getting a little later, and Brandon Cooks, who's going super late, you know, comparatively speaking to other wide receiver ones on their respective teams. So, I think I'm with you. I think it's really deep. I think it's a really deep position, but if this year is going to be anything like last year for me, I started 6 wide receivers in this league relatively every week, unless I had, you know, too many on a bye. Like, I can see myself starting 6 wide receivers every single week.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, like we've been talking about, people get scared at quarterback. Everyone's scared at running back in every league this year. They're flying off the board. People want to get those top tight ends, so those receivers are going to get pushed down. If we're thinking that way, everyone else is going to. So I'm on board with you there. It is interesting, though. You look way down in the range, and I mean, after pick 100, you've still got people like Christian Kirk, Will Fuller. I know he's always hurt, but his upside's there. And then you get the rookies. I mean, the rookies are going so late. You've got CeeDee Lamb going down there. You know, Jerry Jeudy. You can have any of the rookies you want, pretty much. I think I'm going to take some shots on some rookies this year because everyone's talked themselves at them so much because of this weird offseason. But I think if you hit on one and he's an Odell Beckham type talent or whoever, it's not going to matter that there's no offseason. So that's part of the reason I don't want to go early, just because there's a ton later that I like. I mean, even Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate. I mean, in a league like this where you get points for first downs, they're interesting. It goes. I mean, this is probably the one position on waivers you're going to have a couple intriguing options. So it's really hard to find receivers you don't like for the most part. If the value is right, I like them. And I don't know. It's going to be fun picking them and seeing how many values you can get, because there's going to be a lot of them out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking down all the way at the last possible wide receiver on this list, and I still have interest in a lot of them. I mean, you're talking about guys, you know, that still have roles on top teams. I mean, guys like Jalen Hurd on San Francisco, he was a big target last year. Dante Pettis, like these are what, like 13th, 14th round, and they're still guys that, you know, if they break out, if they you know, perform in the preseason, or you know, if they have a job to go into the season. Larry Fitzgerald is going at pick 193. Like, come on. And then so is Hunter Renfro, especially, you know, those are two guys that can get you first downs, and those are really valuable picks later on in the draft. Cole Beasley. Yeah. I'm right there with you with wide receiver, and I think that's how it's going to go. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be using our strategy. Now, if people want to load up on the top wide receivers, then they can go ahead and do that. Like last year, that's what I did. I saw everyone would take like tight end number 20 before wide receiver 15 was off the board. Like, that's something that I'm not comfortable with doing, especially, or not even in this format where a tight end is pushed up a little bit. So if that's still happening, then I'll definitely jump on the value. But if people are, you know, seeing what's happening and they're letting the wide receivers fall, then I'll just keep waiting.
Yeah. And I think that is a good point, though. What you did say last year, you were starting 6 wide receivers every week. If you are going to take them early, I think I would kind of commit to that strategy. You know, if you can get 6, you know, wide receiver 3 or betters, then hey, go for it.
Oh, I had 4 wide receiver 1s. So yeah. I had all 3 wide receivers and a flex spot locked up in every week. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I think if somehow you stumble into two wide receiver start or something, just really commit yourself to it, I would say, and go 0 RB or whatever. So, but I don't think I'll be doing it. But it's always hard because probably everyone else is saying the same thing we are, and you just have to adapt on the fly. So, but yeah, I agree. This is also a league where you would want to stack if you can. You're trying to beat a huge field, and it might help if you have, if I'm taking Burrow everywhere to get Tyler Boyd and maybe take a shot on John Ross later or something like that, you know?
So, you're just a glutton for punishment over there, Eric.
Yeah, that's true. They're all cheap, though, you know? I can commit to the Bengals when they're cheap. That's why I get a little nervous taking Mixon first round. So I can't have my heart broken as much in the 10th round or whatever. So, all right. Well, yeah, receivers are fun this year. Just don't reach on them, I would say, because there's going to be someone else good waiting the next round. So tight end, I think we're going to be kind of on the same page on tight end. So like I said, this is tight end premium. All other positions get a half point for first down and per reception. Tight ends get a full point on those. So there's a big boost on them. Obviously, you got that top tier tight ends that people are going to be jumping on. Kelce, it's got him as an ADP 12. I think he's going to go a lot earlier than that. I don't know about you. Kittle's got an ADP of 15 in the mocks. I think he's probably going to go earlier than that as well. But the first tier is pretty much those two. And then maybe if you want to lump in Mark Andrews, but I think there's a little drop. So do you see, it doesn't sound like you do, but do you see yourself pulling the trigger on Kelce, Kittle, or Andrews, or maybe even Ertz at any point?
No, definitely not. I don't see myself taking any of those in the first 2 rounds. I will be a guy that kind of waits, kind of like Waller last year. I know he had a little bit of hype towards the real draft season, but whenever Scott Fishbowl drafts, it's the beginning of July. So there's not enough hype to go around for guys like that. So I'll be waiting. I know you put in the sheet that you're interested in guys like Hayden Hurst, Noah Fant. I'm interested in guys like Mike Gesicki. Also Blake Jarwin, who I was a big sucker for last year. I'm still on that train. Eric Ebron, who's now in Pittsburgh, pick 170. Like, yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that. OJ Howard is a perfectly fine dart throw. Kyle Rudolph had a couple good games last year. Jacob Hollister in Seattle, even though Greg Olson's there, he's not really the poster boy for health. So I understand that this is a tight end premium as far as the points go, but it also is whenever it comes to drafting. And a lot of people are just going to see that tight ends get more points for PPR and for first downs than wide receivers. And they're just going to bump them up way too high in their rankings. And so at some point, you're going to be feeling like you're reaching for one of the top tight ends whenever there's a top wide receiver on the board. And that's not something I'm comfortable with doing. I'm just going to keep waiting and just taking guys that I like. I mean, even Jack Doyle, who's going at pick 143, like, he's a tight end in a Phillip Rivers system. Like, there's going to be usage for him there.
Yeah, coaches love him. He'll be on the field. I totally agree with all that. I think a lot of people in my spot at the 12-13 turn in the first and second round would maybe take a Kittle there. Would go quarterback, tight end, or running back, tight end.
They might even go tight end.
Yeah.
I can see that happening for sure.
I don't understand that personally. I just don't see, at least the way teams use tight ends right now in the NFL, maybe someday it'll change, but I just don't see them as being the league winners, just those monster weeks, those monster stretches. You still get those from running backs, quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, but I just don't see that with tight ends personally. So
I think last year you have Mark Andrews and Darren Waller who came out of nowhere and you got late in drafts and you possibly could have picked up a guy like Tyler Higbee and you could have been starting all 3 of them. So, but that kind of goes back to my point. Like, Andrews was going so late last year. Waller was going so late. Higbee was on the waiver wire for half the year. These are guys that, you know, they were not being drafted very high. And if you had all three or if you had one, you were set at that position.
Yep. And I mean, I know that, you mentioned a lot of interesting late tight ends. There's more this year, though. There's a ton. I mean, even Austin Hooper, who's not exciting, and I understand why he's being knocked down. I mean, he's going in, 10th round or 9th round range. I mean, he's fallen way down. You got people like Ian Thomas and Irv Smith, Chris Herndon. They all have some interesting stuff. TJ Hawkinson and Sternberger in their second year. So even someone like OJ Howard real late, I mean, if Brady latches onto him, that could be a huge pick. I kind of like Howard really late, even though I've never liked him before this year. So, I think the biggest thing for me is I want to skip the so I understand Kelce, Kittle, Andrews, and even Ertz. I can understand those picks. Maybe Waller a little bit. I'm worried about all the competition that he has now. But after him, I want to skip the Evan Ingram, Hunter Henry, Tyler Higbee, Gronkowski, Jared Cook. If he fell, that's fine. But I don't know. That mid-range, I think you're paying a little too high of a price. Ingram is just injury prone, coming off a pretty major injury. Hunter Henry has a new quarterback to deal with. I think that's the range that I want to skip, and I'd rather take two or three of those ones we talked about earlier. So I think we're pretty much on the same board there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, I think you can do it. I think you can go for tight end, but it's just not the way that I'm probably going to do it this year. Just too many players I like. So that's a pretty good overview of everything. I think we still got a little bit of time. I guess I'd want to hear your thoughts. Do you have any specific strategies for a field this big? If you're playing to win, it's one thing to try to hang around 500 and eke into the playoffs, and it's another to try to take down a 1,400 person field. Do you have any thoughts on just strategies you're going to go after to try to take this thing down?
I'll probably do somewhat of the same strategy that I had last year, where I zigged when everyone else zagged. Like I said, last year, all of the tight ends were pushed up so far that I was able to get four wide receiver ones to start off my draft. And whenever I say wide receiver ones, I'm talking about DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Stephon Diggs, and Keenan Allen. Like, those were my first four picks. And if that happens again this year, you can't go wrong with starting like that. And then if you paired them like I did with a guy like Lamar Jackson and Matthew Stafford, who was pretty consistent until he got hurt, that is the formula for success. Now, obviously, this can't happen again because Lamar Jackson ain't going to be there that late or anything like that. But like I said, I want to zig while everyone else zags. And what I mean by that is the tight ends are going to be pushed up. The quarterbacks are going to be pushed up. And like we talked about, with the quarterback position, I'm fine with having Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Lock as my quarterback one and two. As long as I get someone as my QB3 who I'm confident in that will have playing time, that will be a non-zero for me if I have to put them in, then I'm perfectly fine with that. And then the running back position, if I get two studs, then I'm just going to keep waiting until I can throw those flyers at other guys that I enjoy and that I like and that I think could have a possibility to break out or get the majority of the run in their backfield. So I think avoiding the landmines in the running back position, waiting on tight end, and taking all of the wide receivers that are possible there is something that, me and you probably both share the same opinion on, but it could be a really successful way to make the playoffs in here.
Yep. And I think playing to win, like I said earlier, stacking is going to be a really popular strategy, but for good reason. Maybe once you've got your main stack, take a secondary option. If that offense really blows up, maybe it's Carolina, if you've got Bridgewater and DJ Moore or Bridgewater McCaffrey or whatever, maybe pick Samuel later or pick Robbie Anderson later. Just take a few on that team. They could really blow up. And then, like you said before, this is a strategy that happens a lot in the big, kind of higher stakes, big tournaments that people play in, like this one. You're going to get a lot of teams that are similar picking out of the 12 spot or out of the 7 spot. So do something to differentiate your team. Maybe don't reach too much, but have fun with it, mix it up a little bit, give yourself a unique team, because that will help you if you're in the playoffs at the end competing against all these stacked teams. If your team's a little different, that'll help. So Those are a couple of the strategies I would look at for playing to get first. One thing I did want to note, since the playoffs are week 13 through 16, Tampa Bay and Carolina actually have a bye week in week 13. So So I don't think I would probably change my strategy because of that. You can also get a bye week in your playoffs in this format. So it may not matter if you get a bye week, but there's a chance if you load it up on those teams that your first week of the playoffs, you're without them. So I don't know if that's worth changing your strategy for, but I just thought it was worth mentioning. Would you take much strategy or take much stock in that?
I mean, that really scares me if I pick Christian McCaffrey and he's not there for my playoff matchup. Like, I'm out. Like, there's no way that I can surpass that. Like, that's super scary for me. And luckily, we won't have that decision to make, but still – like, yeah, that's super scary. And then Tampa Bay has enough weapons as it is as well, that could be a detriment to a lot of playoff teams as well, too.
Yeah. So maybe if you're thinking of loading up on Brady, Godwin, and, you know, Ronald Jones or something, maybe that's a little scary there. So that might be scary anyway. But awesome. Well, I think that is pretty much wraps it up here. It's going to be a really fun draft. It's a slow draft. So apologies in advance if I'm blowing up everyone's Twitter with my picks, but what else are we going to do, right? There's nothing else going on. So, all right. Well, Colin, before we get out of here, give us your Twitter handle. You working on anything? You doing anything with baseball, or are you just focused on Scott Fishbowl now?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at CWeatherWax13. If we do have a baseball season, I'll be doing the Fab article for Pitcher List. So you can check that out there. And then getting ready for Scott Fishbowl. I'll be doing a lot more podcasts for football. I know we have some exciting news that for a document that's going to be coming out for QB List. If you want to plug that real quick, Eric, hopefully I can contribute to that too. And then just kind of, you know, seeing if we're going to have seasons for all the major sports. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You know, we can get excited all day about Scott Fishbowl and baseball season, but at the end of the day, we honestly don't know if there's going to be seasons. So just hoping everyone stays safe and we're able to enjoy a little bit here and there.
Yeah, like Colin said, we're going to have a QB List Fantasy Football Draft Guide this year. If you saw Pitcher Lists, it's going to be very similar to that. And the way you get access to that is joining Pitcher List Plus, PL Plus. It's a great deal because if you like us, you're also getting access to one of the best baseball, fantasy baseball communities, or just baseball in general communities there is out there. So we're lumped into the same thing, Pitcher List Plus. You get both of us. The Discord's a ton of fun. We've been watching old football games lately. We made our Patriots fan watch the undefeated Patriots loss in the Super Bowl the other day. He made us watch a bunch of Patriots game before that. But we were all in the voice channel, watching the Tyree catch at the end. It was a lot of fun. So if you like what we do, sign up for Pitcher List Plus. It's a great way to support everything. Keep an eye out for us on the Scott Fishbowl Podathon, 4 a.m. Monday morning. The Scott Fishbowl kicks off 10 a.m. Monday morning. It's just going to be a lot of fun. At the QB List on Twitter, I'm at Eric Smith QBL. And yeah, this was a blast. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to pretend like there's a season and fingers crossed that it happens. So thanks for listening, everyone, and enjoy 4th of July.